Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine? Time to consult the online experts.
Hi, Felicia here with 1 million followers. That bite will destroy your metabolism.
Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning. Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again? Oh, the kids would really love this.
Insulin sensitivity.
Always
Stop it.
They don't know your body, only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour 3 of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on Twitter, @BogmanSports. Hour 3, I'm throwing you a little bit of a curveball here. Bubba could not make it. And I know we just said, what are you and Bubba going to talk about? But it's my good friend, Jesse Sabir. You can find him on the Twitter, @DYNSportsLife, the Dynasty Sports Life podcast as well. Jesse, what is going on, my man?
Hey, look at me. I got on the grid, Scott.
Yeah, you are on the grid, my friend. You are here. So first of all, tell us about the podcast you're doing and what we can expect from it, because, you know, you just started it last year. It's outstanding. So glad you're doing it within this league as well. So please tell everybody about the podcast and what they can expect from it.
Yeah, thanks, Bogman. I am very happy to be doing within this league. What I have is a show called Dynasty Sports Life. What we do is every week I do one episode on Dynasty Sports. I do one on baseball, one basketball, one football. And then I try to have cross-sport programs where I talk about concepts that go across multiple sports or even multi-sport leagues. So it's kind of a niche thing. It's for us crazy, dedicated people who do all these different sports and really enjoy them. But it's been a lot of fun. We're about 25 episodes in. I've been going for a few months and bringing in lots of great guests, including you. You've been there a couple of times and brought the heat from a football perspective, especially, but also some cross-sport stuff. So it's really been a lot of fun. I encourage people to tune in.
Yeah, it's awesome, you guys, to check it out. Jesse is one of the best people in the fantasy industry that I know, not only just knowledge, but also person-wise. So you're obviously filling in for Bubba right here because he is a great human being. So thank you, Jesse. We're going to talk some baseball here with you. And I just put together a list of, you know, I'm going to call this buy low or buy buy. Are you going to buy these guys while they are sitting low? Or are you just going to say, yeah, you know what? You're stuck with them. I'm not going to go and buy low on some of these players. Players that are may not be really struggling, but for what you paid for them, they're struggling. And the first one I want to talk about is Juan Soto. You know, preseason ranked 2 during the season right now, just on Yahoo in terms of a 5x5 league. He's just above 100. He's hitting 236. His career average is 295. He does have 26 runs, but only 14 RBI. He's got 8 homers and 4 swipes, so that's nice. His OBP is still very high at 379, but his career is 427. You know, his Savant page looks good too. It's mainly red here. So it seems like he's going to turn around. I don't know if you can even buy Juan Soto low because he costs so much. But if you get him for, you know, 90 cents on the dollar and trade around, you know, a second rounder and maybe like a fourth or fifth round guy from the preseason, are you going to do that to get Juan Soto? Or are you like, I don't know, this average is bad, he's on a bad team, maybe I'll just, you know, whoever drafted him is stuck with him.
If I can get Juan Soto 90 cents on the dollar, I'm absolutely doing it. I know that's somewhat of an easy call for me. Right. A couple of things I've noticed on his stat line. He's got a 240 BABIP so far this year compared to a 321 career. You have to think that normalizes out a little bit. And also, you know, I am one who's sometimes critical of the old first half, second half type of stats. But I will say Juan Soto's March, April, and May are the coldest months of his seasons, typically. That's the worst months of his career averages. So it's a short career, so there's only so many months to deal with. But already, I'd kind of say he might be a guy who warms up. I think from a narrative perspective, the only thing that worries me is he's never been on a bad team before. I wonder what it feels like to be Juan Soto and suddenly play on a team that kind of stinks in Washington.
Yeah, they're really rough. The pitching staff is especially bad. I finally cut Patrick Corbin, who was one of my first pitchers I took in our three-sport league the other day. I just couldn't. His ERA is up over six, man. I can't have it. Everyone else on my staff in that league is fairly decent, too. So I could not stomach it anymore. And yeah, I mean, he could get traded. There's been a little rumblings of potentially trading him because he's going to command, you know, probably north of $300 million for his next contract. The 400 marker has been used a bunch for him. So we'll see. That's kind of easy one. You know, if you can go get Juan Soto, you go get Juan Soto. The next one is Matt Olson, who was a preseason ranked 22 on Yahoo. Right now, he's in the 300s. Counting stats are not great. He's hitting 244, 18 runs, 5 homers, 16 RBI. He's not a stolen base guy anyway. His BABIP is still, it's over 300, which is, you know, almost 30 points higher than his career average. So what do you think about Matt Olson moving forward? Savant page is pretty red too.
Yeah, the Savant stuff looks really good. And he has a 125 weighted runs created plus. Like you said, I mean, it's a good bat in line in some ways, but it's certainly not doing as many favors in fantasy. I'm just doing my armchair diagnosis of what's happening from fantasy. And there's a couple things I've noticed. One of them is he's pretty much been batting second this year, where last year in Oakland, he batted third and fourth the whole time. So that's not necessarily good for his RBIs, certainly, because right, he's only got one guy ahead of him. And until recently, it was not Ronald Acuna. So, you know, he's counting on guys to get on second for him to get any RBIs at all. And then when he gets on base, even with that 362 OBP, which is a fire OBP, he's got Austin Riley hitting 244 and Marcell Ozuna hitting 231 right behind you. Plus, the Braves are tops in the majors and Ks. Well, you ain't going to drive in no runs on sacrifice flies from a strikeout. So I think there's a lot going against him from a team perspective.
Yeah, I think he'll be okay, but you're right. There are these little things.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
And it's one of those feeder things. As soon as Atlanta, you know, starts to kind of come out of this, I feel like he'll get better. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we got a lot more players to discuss. So stick with us in this league on the Sports Grid back after this break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door, and after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more?
Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Welcome back, everybody. In this league on the Sports Grid, get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports Point. Joined by Jesse Sevier here at, what is it again?
Dynasty Sports Live. DYN Sports Live on Twitter. Yep.
DYN Sports Live. Yes. Thank you. I want to say DLS, DSL, and then I was like, is this a church? I'm not sure about LSDs. So LDSs, I'm not sure. But yes, DYN Sports Life on the Twitter for my man, Jesse. We're talking some baseball here. Talk about players that are, you know, struggling a little bit. Now, some of these guys are rough. And the next guy, we talked about Juan Soto, Matt Olson. So I don't think I got a... are you buying Olson or are you saying, I don't like what's going on in Atlanta. I'm just going to stay away from him.
I guess the question we're talking about like 90 cents on the dollar type buys here. Is that kind of the standard rule we're using for a buy here?
I would say if they're bad enough, like the next guy we'll talk about is probably less, but yeah, probably 90 to 80 cents on the dollar for the real bad guy, 75 cents.
Yeah, if I could get Matt Olson for 80 cents, I would do it. I've got him on one team, and I'm not dissatisfied with him yet. I just feel like Atlanta's going to turn some things around as Acuna's back in the lineup.
Yeah, I think so, too. And this is a team that, you know, they won the World Series last year, so I think they're going to be fine. I'd be okay acquiring Matt Olson if, you know, a manager is frustrated with him right now. The next guy is a different case. It's Salvi Perez. And look, you know, Salvi is a stud, and he's had some injury issues, but you know, it's not wrong to call him into question because last year when he hit all the, you know, he hit, what was it? 48 homers. And that came out of nowhere. His previous career high was 27. I traded him for a prospect in one of our leagues that still upsets me tremendously right now. I traded Salvi for Isaiah Green at the very beginning of the season. Cause I was like, I just need to tear this down and start getting prospects. And I obviously should have got a lot more. The Savant page doesn't look great. He has only had 142 plate appearances, but he's hitting 206. The homers are there. He's got six homers, 13 runs, 16 RBI, but Melendez is right behind him and he looks ready. He has been hitting so far and his cup of coffee that he's had. So what do you think about Salvi Perez? Because the position is rough here.
Well, if I can borrow a term from cowboy culture, he's been rode hard and put away wet. All right. Yeah. Salvi Perez has been worked extremely hard for a catcher. And I feel like every year we tend to reach for those catchers who have career years because we really want to believe that we could get a first round catcher going forward. I think we saw Perez's career year. And that's probably not coming back for us, that 40-some home run pace. If you could get his preseason value, if I could sell for preseason value, I would take it. I would not buy at 90 or 80 cents on the dollar. He actually had a nice little run of 11 games against weak opponents right before he got hurt. He was hitting 283 while DHing the majority of the time. But then he went out with a thumb injury. I don't like a thumb injury as something a guy is trying to come back from all season. Do you?
Especially a catcher.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You got to hold the stick and try to hit a very fast moving ball with it. It's not good.
Right. Yeah. It's difficult. I think I probably wouldn't buy on Salvi right now just because the thumb injury, the guy behind him, and like you said, rode hard, put away wet. Right. So I don't think I can buy right now on Salvi. So I'm going to buy and not buy low. The next guy here, Teoscar Hernandez with the Blue Jays. I'm very upset because I thought this is going to be Teoscar's breakout year. I thought he's going to be good for 40 homers. He had 32 last year. He had 116 driven in, 92 runs, 12 stolen bases, but he started out this year with an oblique injury. And we know obliques can linger. He is back. He's already back, but he looks terrible right now. He's hitting 212. His career average is, that's his OBP. He's hitting 152. His career average is 256. He hit 296 last year, 289 the year before that. So it looked like really something broke in 2020. We saw a full go of it in 2021. And he's just been disappointing this year. He can't hit the broadside of a barn. He's definitely not hitting 40 homers. So it's upsetting, but he's in a very good lineup. And this is a guy that I think that we can probably get closer to that 75 cents or lower on the dollar, because, you know, managers are getting really frustrated with Teoscar right now. So what do you think on Hernandez? Are you buying because he's so low, or are you saying, eh, this oblique injury has looked terrible, I'm not into it?
I'll tell you, I'm gonna pass, because that injury, and it just doesn't seem like he's able to come back to from it right now, or at least I don't know how long it's gonna take, but he's back on the field and clearly has not been able to get his act together since that has happened. It's funny because in the incredibly small sample of the first six games of the season before he got hurt, he was hitting .316. It looked like we might be getting another vintage Teoscar Hernandez year. But I don't know, man. After the injury and his sort of inability to perform since then, I really don't want to take the chance and tank that much value from my roster to acquire him.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you on Teoscar. And this is, well, I tell you what, I'm going to take a shot in at least one league. I know that. I'm going to try to go get him in at least one league, just to see if he turns out. But I'm not going to do it in multiple leagues. You know, I'll say that. I do believe in him, but obliques can last and they can bother a guy for the whole season. And so I think for the most part, I'm out. I like him enough to try to throw a dart in a league where I'm already bad. I'll say that, just to try to grab and stash. It'd be great if any of these NFBC leagues had trades, but of course they don't. Those are my worst ones. Another guy that is just horrific right now, Marcus Semien, Jesse. He is hitting 185. That's at bats is 162. He has zero home runs, 14 runs, 4 RBI, 10 RBI, 4 stolen bases. I don't know why I can't get these numbers right. I need glasses, clearly. But he looks terrible. His Avant page is blue, like Blue Man Group right here. So he looks terrible. The numbers are awful. You can get him for less than 75 cents on the dollar. You probably, if someone is rostering him still, and he's been cut in 12 mans, if someone's rostering him still in maybe, you know, a keeper league, a dynasty league, you could get him closer to 60 to 50 cents on the dollar. Are you even paying that much right now? Or are you just going to let him, you know, I don't want any part of this mess?
Man, you gotta feel for Texas. They paid all this money for this guy. So he's going to keep getting opportunities. I can't see Texas taking him out of it. In fact, they won't even take him out of the one and the two hole, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. Why do you keep hitting him that high in the lineup? Give him a little bit of a rest and push him back a little bit. But
I mean,
zero
this,
home runs?
This seems like a phantom injury guy, right? Like, oh, his leg hurts. Go down to the minors on a rehab assignment.
My head, neck, back. Yeah.
My throat, neck, chest. Oh my God, it hurts.
He's zero home runs in 178 plate appearances. Ugh. It's crazy. BABIP is only 224. I mean, if you want to be an optimist, but there's just nothing to look at here. I worry because every once in a while, these middle infielders, when they hit their early 30s, they can hit the cliff a little more quickly than you expect. And, you know, Semien at least is decent size, is 6 foot. Sometimes it's the shorter guys you worry about more. But I can't make head nor tail of it. And I don't think that I'm going to be the one to buy unless it's exceedingly cheap to do so.
If I offered you Gene Segura right now for Marcus Semien, and Gene Segura is hitting a little bit, you know, he's not terrible right now. He's hitting .297. He's got 6 homers. That's 6 more than Semien. Got 6 swipes. Well, what do you think? If I offer you
this fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Girl, right now for your Marcus Semien that you drafted, would you do it?
Okay, I think I would stubbornly go down with the ship over taking Gene Segura for him. I would maybe trade Segura and get Semien. I would probably be willing to do that.
Okay, well, see, that's where we're at. And in a redraft, I think I'd have to immediately do it. But in I couldn't do it in a dynasty, of course. But we got to take a break. When we come back, we got some more rough players to go over to see if we would buy on them. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this in this league on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Why the f*** is it called
a... In this league.
Because who could be scared of it?
In this league.
Yeah, just this nice bloke from down the road, isn't he?
What's wrong with you?
Hello, I'm...
In this league.
I've just moved in. My wife has got varicose veins.
I'm having a heart attack. I'm having a heart attack.
You're not having an heart attack.
Welcome back, everybody. In this league on the Sports Grid, get on the grid. Scott Bogman here with Jesse Sevier. We are talking about baseball players that we would buy low on or say bye-bye to. Some players that have struggled over the first 2 months of the baseball season. Sometimes the underlying numbers are good, sometimes they're not. The next guy here that we have on the list, Jose Abreu, is one that I am all about buying on, because while his stats are, you know, okay, he's hitting 229, which is not good. He's a 288 career hitter. He has 21 runs, which isn't bad. Only 5 homers, 19 RBI. Like, it's not horrible. I think right now he ranks 265. So he's in the top 300 still. He's not like plummeting down to the, you know, Yahoo will do it where, you know, if you're hitting under a certain line, you're in the 800-900s because you're just hurting the team. You bring nothing to the table. He's not that bad. And the Savant numbers, Jesse, look great for him. He's top 2% of average exit velocity. He's, you know, 60 percentile in max exit. His expected weighted on base is the top 15%. His hard hit rate is in the top 2% as well. So everything looks good. It's just not adding up to on-field success as much as we're used to with Jose Abreu. So what do you think about buying low on him? Because this is a guy that's not going to be your discount like Marcus Semien. He's going to cost you closer to 90 cents on the dollar. So would you take the risk right now?
If I have a hole at first base or I need power, I would buy Abreu at this point. There are, you know, concerns, reasons to be concerned. He's 35 years old. He's got those old man skills, that old man strength.
And close to our age. That's not that good.
Yeah, exactly. No, he's quite a bit younger than me, but close to your age. But, he, like I said, career high, 56.5% hard hit. His O swing percentage is down. Zone contact way up. That's good stuff. That's all good stuff. He's another guy who starts poorly and always makes his hay in August and September, which, by the way, if you play head to head, if you don't remember, are your playoff time. So that's a good time to have him. The only weird observation I had, because I'm going to make assumptions based on small samples and the fact that I sit on a couch and talk about baseball when I feel like it, based on supported samples, is that he's not hitting sliders very well this year. In the last 4 years, his batting average against sliders are between 216 and 246. Each of the years have been between that. This year, it's 152 against the slider, and his opponents are throwing more and more breaking balls against him. Sliders are like the second most common pitch he faces. So there's some kind of a problem with him trying to hit sliders so far this year.
And you know what's funny is, I think I can't remember which outlet it was. I know I saw it earlier today. I think it was from The Athletic, but there was an article about how, you know, there's no longer fastball counts because so many pitchers are throwing the slider. And so it's a pitch that hitters are seeing more and more often. And it's kind of difficult to, you know, have so many pitchers throwing sliders, because it's also seems to be the pitch that players get hurt on a lot. So is that slider. And there, you know, I think it was the Orioles who famously a while back just wouldn't let their pitchers throw a slider because they didn't want him to go through TJ surgery. So it's an interesting correlation that you put there together with, you know, the fastball not being thrown as much as it used to be and the slider being thrown more than it ever has and him not hitting the slider well. you're still going to see more fastballs because it's the easiest pitch to command. But players are seeing a lot of sliders here. The next guy, Jesse, is one that a lot of people I have seen are just out. I saw someone dropped him in a dynasty league the other day. I'm talking about Javier Baez, who is hitting 201. He has three homers. He had 31 last year. He has zero stolen bases. He had 18 last year. He is hitting 61 points below his career average. His Savant page is not doing him any favors. He's in the bottom 1% of chase rate, bottom 2% of whiff rate. He's a bottom 30% in K rate. He's not doing anything good except for his max exit velocity is okay. His sprint speed is still good, but he doesn't have a stolen base to show for it. So nothing is good right now for Javier Baez. So he looks like an easy player to buy just because the cost is so cheap. But do you want to sit through this mess while he tries to come out of it is the question.
Man, I'm getting out like a Jordan Peele movie here. I want no part of Javi Baez. And the truth is, I think we kind of saw this one coming. You have to respect Baez when he keeps putting up the home run stolen base combination. You know, everybody wants those stats, but this year it's really fallen off a cliff. And I think I only roster him in one place. It's the Bogman League. It's the league that I play in with you that you're the commish of. And I'm
currently second place in that, I believe. Are you first or second in my league?
I'm in second right now. I'm in second, yeah. But not looking good this week.
And Jag keep trading off the top three spots, I feel like. So,
yeah, I think SPP is waxing me right now, too. So we'll see how with Steve there. But for Javi, his out of zone swing percentage. Okay, help me with this. It's up to 48.2% versus 44.2 career. So help me understand that he's literally swinging half the time the ball is out of the zone.
Yeah, I think he's clearly just not seeing the ball right. You know, I mean, that's got to be what it is. You know, he's not seeing anything right now. This almost feels like, you know, Eddie Rosario went to go get eye surgery. And he started out and he had similar, you know, style of numbers to this, what Javi is doing here. And it was like, but when Eddie Rosario went and had eye surgery, you go, okay, there it is. You know, now we understand why he's so bad. No eye surgery for Javier Baez, obviously. I think Baez is definitely a streaky player. He always has been a very, very streaky player. He's one of those guys that has just crushed spring training and then looked okay, or, you know, looked bad in spring training, looked amazing to start. Last year, everything clicked for him. This year, it's just the complete opposite. Nothing is clicking for him. I think I'm going to buy him right now, Jesse, just because he's so unbelievably cheap. I think you can get him for Gene Segura, I think, right now, without question. So I think you can go and trade a lower asset to get him and hope you get him for when things start to break right for him, when he starts seeing the ball a little bit better and goes on a heater. So I think I'm going to buy him because of that, but I do not blame anyone from staying away from Javier Baez. And this is one of the things I talked about in the preseason during the mocks and all the stuff too. Like, if you're willing to take a risk on Baez, you can't take a risk somewhere else, because if he bottoms out, this is what you're going to get. So you don't want to be stuck with two of these streaky players. So, you know, I seem to have either Randy Arozarena or Javier Baez on some of my teams, not both. Wouldn't put them together for sure. So I think I'm in, but just because it's cheap. Are you in because the price is cheap, or are you just going to let someone else watch him work through it?
Honestly, I'll let somebody else, because I said his out of swing percentage, his swing percentage is way up, and the contact he's making is down from a career 53.5 to 46. So he's swinging out there more and he's contacting it less. He's zero stolen bases. He's already hitting 30 years old. He'll turn 30, I guess, this winter, but he's already 29, which is a little bit aged. He's got a little bit of mileage on him. I don't know. I feel sorry for Tigers fans because they finally paid up for a guy and they're really trying to do the rebuild the right way. And I hope you can get some fun, good years out of Javi Baez, because you deserve it for, you know, making an aggressive move in free agency.
Ain't going to be this year. It doesn't look like it. the last hitter we have to talk about is JT Realmuto. And, you know, Realmuto's not terrible right now. He's hitting .238. He has a couple homers. He has three stolen bases. He has 21 runs, 11 RBI. So, I mean, he's still a top 12 catcher statistically, but he's definitely not the number easy number one overall catcher that you were taking. You know, it was him or Salvi, and neither one of these guys are working out right now, which could say more about just the catcher position as a whole than it does about these players specifically. But JT Realmuto, at his cost, it's not going to be as cheap as Salvi because he doesn't have an injury and he's not statistically as bad. You get him a little cheap. Do you think you would do it now to get that, you know, set it and forget it catcher if you have a rough one, or are you just all the way out on Realmuto at his cost right now?
Again, I think it's about the expectations that were set here. If I could get 90% of catcher one value, absolutely. I'm getting rid of him. I'm moving on. But he's still, I mean, he's still not that much worse than what he has been career. Yeah, his batting average is down this year from 263 to 238 last year. Well, guess what? League batting average is down from 244 to 237. I mean, that's like, you know, it's already falling right there. He hasn't had a ton of, you know, home runs yet. He's already got some stolen bases, though. I don't know. I think there's, he is still going to be a solid performer, but we may have gotten out over our skis thinking that he was just going to be this amazing slugger. The average hits that he's had, if you look at his spray chart, he's got a bunch of dinky infield singles. Just don't expect this guy to be a fantasy MVP. He's very valuable in two catcher leagues, but you know, you'd be better off shopping at a little more of the shallow end of the pool.
Is something like this with these top two catchers playing so poorly to start the year, does this make you just, first of all, hate two catcher leagues? And number two, just wait and take some guys that you think you can throw a dart on.
Yeah, it certainly is speaking to something like that. You know, my catching has been okay in most of the leagues I've been in. And I'll be honest, I haven't shopped at the most expensive end of that pool very often. I'm fortunate to have Will Smith in one league, and he's kind of become the elite option or one of the elite options. But there aren't many. I mean, it's such an advantage. If you get the right one, it's such an advantage. But it really is the mentality of your league. If the cost is driven up so much that you start paying top 40 value for Salvador Perez, you're tanked if they can't have that season.
You really are. And the number one catcher right now is Varsho at, you know, ranked at 59. The next highest, Wilson Contreras at 192. So it's just not great at the catching position. When we come back, we're going to talk about some pitchers and see if we are in or out on some of the struggling guys right now to buy low on. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this in this league on the Sports Grid.
Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine? Time to consult the online experts.
Hi, Felicia here with 1 million followers. That bite will destroy your metabolism.
Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning. Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again? Oh, the kids would really love this.
Insulin sensitivity.
Always
Stop it.
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Chris Welsh
said you were coming.
What else did he say?
He said you were the best in the parsec.
Scott Bogman,
former Imperial sharpshooter.
That's not saying much.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wiseass.
Please excuse his lack of decorum.
In this league.
This is the way.
stop touching things.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the good. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. And if you would, please check out our Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army, where we got all kinds of great stuff for you. GroupMe rooms, rankings, live streams. We do all kinds of stuff over there. So please check it out if you would. My guy Jesse is part of the Army. He is an integral part of the Army.
Oh, yeah.
Has been an OG, as we call them, one of the very first Patreon subscribers a while ago now too. So our Patreon has been around for a little bit at this point, but please check it out if you would. We are here talking about buy low candidates for the baseball season, about 2 months in now. I guess a little bit less than that because we started late, but about 2 months in now. And we're getting to the point where it's kind of, as they would say, S or get off the pot time for some of these players. And we did some hitters. Let's go over to the pitching side. And Shane Bieber he's still pitching okay. But this is a guy that was a top, 30, 40 player on pretty much everyone's list. Right now, it's kind of weird with Yahoo rankings. He's like in the 400s or whatever. But the numbers aren't terrible. He only has one win and three losses, but he has 46 strikeouts over 45 and two-thirds innings. His K per nine isn't what it normally is, but it's still over nine. His walk per nine is actually lower than it was last season. But when you go to the Savant page, it's blue. It doesn't look good. All the underlying numbers are rough. Welsh and I have talked about this guy a lot on ITL, Jesse, and it's just, I'm not out because he just keeps finding success. He's not getting you wins, which I understand. And that's frustrating because we wanted wins from him, but he's still getting you strikeouts. He's still putting up decent innings. He's not walking a ton. His ERA isn't insane. His ERA is 3.55. His Sierra is 3.60. So the underlying stuff looks bad, but the numbers are there for him to be an okay pitcher. So I'm okay buying on him, especially if someone thinks he's going to blow up. What do you think about Bieber right now?
The funny thing with Bieber is I have him all over the place, but I have him in dynasty leagues. So I haven't had the experience of trying to buy him as like a top two round pitcher. But I think the worst thing that ever happened from a fantasy perspective for us and Bieber was 2020. That is not a real thing. Okay. 163 ERA, 36% K minus walk percentage. No, that does not exist. That's 2 months during COVID. That is not a thing we're ever going to see again. He's a mid threes ERA type guy. He can get some Ks. He's going to give up some very hard contact and some home runs. I am with you that I am not selling Bieber right now because I think his value is being distressed beyond the point that it should. Now, there are some very worrisome stats. His CSW, our shout out to the boys at Pitchers List, is the second biggest drop of anybody this year. His fastball velocity is down, and everybody has been talking about that as a problem. But you talk about those results. Hey, man, last two starts, he's had 17 Ks, and he's only really had one blow-up start against Toronto May 7th. He gave up seven earned runs, but otherwise he's been pulling through. I think that he is a guy who I am not necessarily going to pay second round value for him or even high third, but if I could get him for the equivalent of like a fifth round pick, I'll take him.
So let me ask you, let me give you a couple of would you rather for the rest of the year. Bieber versus Manoa.
Oh, Manoa's so good, man. Manoa's
I know. But his, his preseason value was right inside the top 100, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I think Manoa's preseason, I think my value on Manoa has risen beyond where my value on Bieber has dropped to. I'm probably going to take Manoa over him.
That's fair. And right now, Manoa is like the second best, at least according to Yahoo, the second best starter out there right now. Burns, you'd obviously take over him. McClanahan, I think, is an easy one as well.
Yep.
Nestor Cortez.
I'll probably take Bieber over Cortez. I mean, Cortez just isn't proven to the extent I want to be. I mean, Cortez is going to get more wins for sure, but I don't know if somebody's going to figure him out and do something else with him. Whereas Bieber, I feel like Bieber is going to improve as the season goes along.
Here's the last one I'll ask, and then we'll get to some other pitchers here. Joe Ryan from the Twins. He's on the COVID list right now, but he has looked, you know, pretty solid. 43 and a third. He's got 5 wins, 42 strikeouts, 2.28 ERA, and a 0.99 whip right now, under 1. So guys looked outstanding. Obviously, preseason, the values were enormously different on these two guys. But what do you think about Joe Ryan versus Bieber for the rest of the year?
I'll still take Bieber over Ryan at this point. Again, I think the sample is there. I'm more convinced that I'm going to get a, let's say, top 7 round pitcher out of Bieber, you know, as a floor, than right. I am thinking that Joe Ryan is going to bust out and be like a 4th round ceiling or something. I don't think so. I think Bieber's floor is well above what I expect out of Ryan.
Yeah, with guys like Nestor and Joe Ryan, you want to see these guys put up, you know, a massive amount of innings pitched like we've seen Bieber do before you go invest in them. Because, you know, a lot of these guys that haven't done that before, they get to an innings limit or the club thinks, you know, they fall out of the playoff race, whatever it is. Why are we still throwing this guy out here? He's a risk of getting hurt, and he's obviously a great pitcher. We'll skip a start here. We'll skip a start there. And if you're in head-to-head, like you mentioned before, Jesse, that's right when your playoffs are.
And let me say, man, why would you ever believe in a pitcher who just absolutely comes out of nowhere and just suddenly starts putting up amazing stats right away when he comes in MLB? And oh, wait a minute, that was what Shane Bieber did.
Yeah. Look, and Cortez, he finished off last year pretty well. So that was what made me want to invest in Nestor. A little bit was just the way he finished last season off. A couple of these other pitchers here. Robbie Ray is on this list. I have started out 54, 307 is his rank. Charlie Morton, 74. He's in that negative like 869 Yahoo value. Berríos has been bad. Trevor Rogers has looked rough. Castillo is up and down like he always is. Ian Anderson isn't playing up to expectations here. Jesse, who out of that group are you going to buy on right now, even if their cost is like, let's say, 85 cents on the dollar?
Ooh,
if any of them.
Good question. I would say relative to their value, I would probably buy on Luis Castillo for a couple of reasons. I've got problems. Ray, Morton, Berríos, I've got problems with all those guys. K rates are dropping. Castillo's K rate dropped from 9.2 to 7.8. I don't love that. It's kind of dropping down for him, but his strand rate is awful. Guys are getting on base and they're making it around and scoring. And some of the advanced ERA indicators think he's pitching better than last year, actually. So I like that. Plus Cincinnati has just been so awful at the beginning of the season. They put up
20 runs today as we're recording this, which is crazy. They saved half their runs on the year for today for whatever reason. It's nuts.
Well, it's bound to happen. And I mean, all respect to Captain, but there is such a thing as a dead cat bounce, and I would never wish that. The Reds have been so awful. They are going to have some better days. They're going to get Castillo a couple of wins. It's not going to be as dire as this looks so far. So I think relative to the values, he's the one I might have some interest in.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of these guys, Robbie Ray, I can't figure out because I have seen some smart people in the industry say, look, Robbie Ray is just a starter two away from getting this completely corrected. And he could be, but I've seen Robbie Ray as a Diamondbacks fan. I've seen Robbie Ray go out there and, you know, I think it was 2020. I'm like, this was going to be the year, and it was not the year. He had like worked so hard. All you hear about the whole offseason is this guy is ready to go, best shape of his life, all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. Not so much. Then he goes to Toronto. He looks great. He's amazing. And he gets the big contract for Seattle. And now he looks like a middle of the road pitcher again. Charlie Morton has always kind of been up and down. His stuff has been, to me, more about his injury history. Why I have avoided Charlie Morton specifically, but I think I might buy on him. Berríos, I don't know. Like, what would the cost have to be for you to invest in Berríos? Would it be, how about that one? Berríos or Cortez, Nestor Cortez, for the rest of the year?
Whew. I probably would take Cortez over Berrios at this point. I'm worried about Berrios. I think what he has to figure out, his fastball is getting destroyed this year. It's a 365 batting average against when he's throwing his fastball, which is way up from before, and he's throwing it more. He used to throw his fastball 27% of the time. Now it's 37%. I'd have to go back and look at the splits and see if that has anything to do with when he moved over to the Blue Jays and getting into that park and so forth. But I don't know. I mean, I would buy him, but I think I'm probably looking for Cortez at this point.
Yeah, I mean, and Cortez is kind of like the it's been 2 months. He's been good. If Nestor Cortez the rest of this year was awful, no one would be surprised. Everyone would be like, there's your guy. He's good for a month and a half, 2 months. And, and then he got figured out, all that stuff. Berrios, there's two things with that fastball. You said it was up basically 10% from previous years this year. I think there's two things with that. Number one, it means that he's not commanding the other stuff as well as he thought, because it's getting him into fastball counts, which we just said, there's an article that said there's not really fastball counts anymore. But when your best command is on your fastball and you get into 2-1, 3-1 counts, guys are going to be sitting dead red. It makes you more predictable as a pitcher as well, if you're throwing the fastball so much more. Also, I talked about this on his opening day. I remember I was in Arizona for opening day. Obviously saw Seth Beer hit the 3-run walk-off shot, which was his only homer, by the way, of the whole season, because he has since been sent back down. I was sitting at a sports bar watching Berrios get lit up, and they had hockey on, so I couldn't hear what they were saying. But I was like, he's got to be tipping. He has got to be tipping. And that's why he didn't get an out, I think, in that opening day game. Might have got one out or two out. He didn't get out of the first inning. I know that. So I got to think that there might be something with that as well. Not only are you more predictable because you can't predict, throw everything else, but if there's something you're doing or the catcher's doing or the outfield, it's not always necessarily on the pitcher for who is tipping what. But I feel like there could be a little bit of that in play as well, although I haven't really heard anyone talk about it. So
let me tell you this. Jose Berrios, man, his K per nine is down from a career rate of 9 to 6.65 right now. He is 51st among 58 qualifying pitchers in MLB. He's barely cleared Austin Gomber, okay, and Kyle Hendricks. They're right below him. It's terrible. It's terrible stuff. He's looking up at Martin Perez right now. So it's just not good.
Looking up at Martin Perez is not a good spot to be in terms of strikeouts when you are a strikeout style of pitcher. There's plenty of guys that don't get strikeouts. That's just the way they work. But Berrios is not supposed to be one of those guys. So to see him struggle this much is just difficult. So hopefully you guys go ahead.
I was just going to ask, do we have time?
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Time to talk Robbie Ray, or are we headed out of here?
We got to take a break, but when we come back, we will close out the 3-hour tour with a little bit more of Robbie Ray. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this. It's In This League on the Sports Grid, coming back at you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
You guys hear Endless Love. You know what that means. It's the end of the 3-hour tour of In This League on the Sports Grid. Please follow us on Twitter at Bogman Sports. at is it the Welsh at DYN Sports Life. Is that it? Did I get it right?
That's it. That's it. You got it.
For Jesse Sevier, please check out all the Twitters. We've been talking all hour three about baseball, guys, that we're buying low. You had a couple more things you wanted to mention on Robbie Ray. Jesse, what were they?
Well, I just wanted to ask you about Robbie Ray. If I dropped you out of the sky this season and you hadn't had a chance to look at any of his stats, and okay, I told you Robbie Ray is not doing well, what would you assume is happening with him from your past experience?
Walks. I would assume he dances around the plate. He tries to paint, and he's not a painter. He needs to attack the zone a little bit more. So I would assume that he's walking guys are getting on base, leading to longer innings, higher pitch counts, because I've watched it. I've seen it happen before with Robbie Ray. So he tries to paint a little bit too much.
And you're absolutely that is exactly what I was thinking of. We're on the same wavelength here,
right?
Because that's exactly the truth. And he's not walking the park like he used to. 3.12 walks per nine is not great, but it's actually the second best mark of his career.
Back it's good in for Ray. Adverts. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great for Ray. I mean, you look 4.5, 4.3, 7.8. Those were the years he was having before he got to Toronto. You know, one of the things, and I think I heard this called out a little bit in the preseason, is if you really thought Robbie Ray was going to put up a 90% strand rate again, you probably were fooling yourself to some extent. I mean, you just couldn't put Robbie Ray quite in that class. He'll improve and he'll get to look a little bit like the underlying stats from last year, but it's just not going to be what the surface stats, the 2.84 that he had last year. There's no way.
Yeah. And that was going to be hard to match anyway. I thought he had taken the next step, but taking this big of a step back, we may have been just a little bit early on Robbie Ray, or we may have just seen his career year and he's going to be back to normal Robbie Ray to close it out. But we are going to close it out here. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week. I think I'm going to have my guy Marty Tallman on for hour three. So check that out. We will see you guys then. Take it easy, everyone. We will see you next week.